You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the ATL podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis. We talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and just about anybody else I feel like chatting with. And today's episode is Renee. Excited to bring that to you. Want to remind you that you can listen to all episodes. They're all up. We have 5 years worth of episodes on any of your favorite players. They live everywhere. We've had some amazing episodes over the years. Recently, we've done a lot of great stuff. Please go check out the feed. Also, go follow us on that IG. We got fun stories. We've got some stuff that, you know, just happens during the week. Sometimes we go to events, that kind of thing. And of course, we would just appreciate the love there. Speaking of love, give us some love. Tell a friend. People always ask for reviews. I always say I'd much rather have you tell someone, because that's how this thing grows, by telling your friends, hey, I'm listening to this great show. So go do it right now. But hey, if you want to take a moment, drop us a note on the IG. Tell us what you're enjoying. We'd appreciate it. As you'll find out on this program, I met Renee as a friend of my daughter's mom. I almost said that, friend of my daughter's kid. She's a friend of my daughter's mother that I've known a long time. And I've known who she was and what she did for a living. But we never really, you know, we just talk about whatever when we get together, our kids, our life, whatever. She knows my wife really well. But I was thinking, like, you know, who'd be a great guest for the show is Renee. And it turns out she's lived a much more rich Atlanta life than I even knew. So let's get into it. I recorded this at her house a few weeks ago. Away we go.
You're just going to talk like a normal person.
Oh, well, that's asking a lot.
Let's just get this cord straight out. So we're here with Flip Wilson. And Geraldine! Yes. Does this talk?
No, once upon a time it talked, but not anymore. No.
Okay. It's just... and Black Jesus.
Yes, uh-huh.
Do we call him Black Jesus or just Jesus?
It's interesting. That's a good question. You know, we actually call him Black Jesus, which would imply that there's another Jesus. And really, there should just be one, apparently.
Maybe. Right.
I don't know.
Right.
So,
Here's a question. Would Flip Wilson be canceled today for being Geraldine?
No, I don't think so. I think you'd be welcomed.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes.
They wouldn't say he's mocking women or he's...
Well, what about Madea? I think Madea is mocking women. I think that...
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Now, this town is not that big. I know you've worked for that man before.
I have, yes.
Does he know your feelings on Madea?
I don't think he really... He doesn't know them personally, no, and I don't think he would really care.
Right.
You know, I'm just...
Because he's like, excuse me, I just pooped out another $1 million.
$1 million, who are you? Oh, yeah, no, I do not give a shit.
You can curse on this show. You can absolutely curse on this show.
Fucking sakes. Okay, great.
Listen, I don't know what my wife told you.
Oh, God.
I don't know what I've told you, but this is just kind of how we roll, okay?
Okay, I'm rolling.
But we went there already, so now I'm going to, like, is that a... I know that people gave him a hard time... At one point, because apparently, like in the theater community, they were like, "Oh, this isn't real theater. It's bullshit. It's blah blah blah. Whatever." Right? And they didn't like him for that. But in the Black community, is there like a big, like, he's bringing us down kind of a vibe or community or thought or?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I can speak for. I think, I don't know about the entire Black community. I think that there is a lot of mixed feelings behind this man. You know, I mean, on one hand, you know, he does amazing work. He's employing so many of my fantastic creative friends that perhaps would not have had an outlet otherwise.
Right.
So, you know, I applaud all of that, and they're doing amazing work. I personally, and a few other friends I know, aren't
That's kind of
necessarily
what I
fans of him. Of him, I feel like a lot of his stuff is just doesn't paint us black community in the positive light. Can I? That's what I'm saying.
Right. I wasn't expecting you to speak for all black people.
No, of course not. Right. But yeah.
But can you be my black friend that I call up and ask questions to? Are you that person for people?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I've ever been specifically asked that. As my dear late great friend Willie would say, that I am the lightest, brightest, almost whitest, pro-blackest person he knows.
Okay.
So that means that I can navigate in all circles, and I'm just fine and comfortable everywhere. So I think you could call me, but I might have to ask somebody some things.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I personally don't care for that man myself, but that's it. But you, being your black friend that you call to ask things, yes, run it by me first. Let's just say that. And if it goes above my my blackness level, I guess, then I'll have to refer to others.
Okay, let's back up.
Okay, oh gosh.
Let's back up. So first of all, this house is amazing. This living room is amazing. Do you want to, can you describe maybe kind of what the vibe of this living room?
Well, you know, I think the vibe of the living room is, I'm hoping that the vibe is you just come in, it's relaxed, it's love, it's warmth, it's welcoming, you know, it's honoring those people that went ahead of us. My favorite stuff, like, well, I would say Star Wars, but that's more of my friend's favorite stuff, but I did like Star Wars. You know, I don't know, it's just everything. You know what it is? I'll tell you. It's when I was younger, I used to play with Barbies until I was like 15, right? And I used to get clowned all the time. And my older sisters would not play with me, right? So I always had this, my best friend Karen, who's also passed on, unfortunately. Her and I would play Barbies to no end all the time. And this house is my motherfucking Barbie dream house. So I get to play with this motherfucker as much as I want. So to me, this room is like where I get to have all of my phones that I wanted to have that remind me of my Barbie furniture. I get to have all my vintage games that I used to have to play with by myself. My sisters wouldn't play. Like, this is just an homage to maybe my childhood. It gives me comfort and familiarity.
It's really great. I mean, so
thank you.
So to describe what we're looking at, if we're going from right to left, because I like to paint a picture.
Oh, please.
For my audience.
Please.
So we've got Martin, we've got Malcolm, we've got the classic Muhammad Ali standing over what's his name pose. We've got my uncle Sammy Davis Jr. You know, did you know we were related?
I did not know that. It was that's really, huh?
No, we have the same last name.
I saw. You got lots of.
When I was a kid, I would tell people that though, and they would always look at me
like,
because remember in the '70s, like he was still happening.
Yes,
right.
Oh, he was yeah, for sure, absolutely.
When did we lose him? In the '80s, sometime.
I think so. I should know that.
And then Star Wars, yeah. And then all this cool old vintage. It's very and the you know, you asked about where we were going to record, and the foyer, if you will, is very echoey, and this is very the sound like. Lots of plush things, and so the sound kind of dies. It's a good place to record. This would be an amazing room to do, like, if you were to start your own podcast or video show, because it's nice to have, like, the dope setup and the cool shit behind you.
Yes.
See, I think this is the man cave that I always wanted. Obviously, I would have a few different things.
Sure. Not Barbie furniture, per se.
But, like, cool old shit, right?
Yes.
And, like, a record player and all that. But we're going to have to do player. When the kids, I see it, and an HR player. When the kids are gone is when I'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, my kids are, you know, you got smaller ones than I have.
Right.
So I'm a little closer to being just me, myself, and I.
Right. I think maybe I'll build a shed maybe and turn that into my man
That's
cave
a great idea.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because then it's just you and you alone. And no one can fuck with you.
I'll lock it and no one will get in. So let's back up.
Okay, yes.
Let's back up. You were born where?
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida in 1971, and then from there, my mother moved my two sisters and myself to Kingston, Ontario, Canada, where she was raised. Well, she was raised in a place called Yarker, which is like a little tiny, little small country city outside of Kingston, which was already a tiny city.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I was born in Florida, but I was raised in Canada since I was 3 months old.
Do you have dual citizenship?
I think so. I only say I think so because I definitely have an American passport, but I also have a should I be revealing all my? No, I also have a Canadian social security number as well. We call it a social insurance number in Canada. So I have both. So I don't know. I haven't gone back to activate. I just travel back and forth like an American.
Right. Have you worked a lot there?
I did a couple of jobs there, but most of like my career stuff, I moved here when I was like 21, 22. So working, what's working? The work came later on here in Atlanta.
Right.
I was just living it up in my 20s.
Did you have a job? What was your job?
I did. I was a bartender, and then I was a really amazing model for a while.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, back in the day, you know, back when I was a young hottie.
Okay.
You know, all this 5'10"-ness had to go somewhere.
Right. Did you have the current hairstyle or different hairstyle?
What is this? No, I had a... No, it was short. It was shorter. I had it all cut off. It was shorter. At one point, it was longer and pressed out. It was a variety of things. At one point, it might have been this. Yeah.
Okay. So you were a fabulous model in the 80s and early 90s?
No, in the 90s.
In the 90s, okay.
No, yeah. No, I went to school. I didn't move here until I was like 21.
Okay.
So, and when I was in Canada, I think I worked at like Le Chateau retail stuff. My mom always had a vintage shop. So,
okay. Did you bartend here?
I did, yeah.
Where did you bartend here?
Oh, I bartended at the infamous Fat Tuesdays in the Underground.
Okay.
And I wasn't really a bartender. I didn't know that I was just cute, you know.
So they just hired you to be cute.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And which was great because I stayed there for years and made lots of good money, and it was great. But in the meantime, I also worked at the Velvet, which was an old spot, you know, on, off by Woodruff Park over there off of Peachtree downtown. I worked there for a lot. I mean, I worked there a while, and that's where I really learned how to bartend. But I wasn't really a bartender. I didn't even drink at the time, so I didn't know. I just asked people, "Oh, what's in that?" What, and I'd just make it strong, and they wouldn't give a shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you never worked like the Buckhead scene?
No, No, I used to hang out in the Buckhead scene, though. That was fun back when I first moved here.
Ooh. So I was going to say, we're about the same age. We could have crossed paths.
We probably have. So did you work in the Buckhead scene?
No, but like I was trying to like go out.
Yeah, well, that's...
But I was... You're not going to believe this about me. I know you're not going to believe this about me, but I was a pretty big dork.
No. For
I was very not confident. I was not. I'm a very late bloomer.
Oh, so I like late bloomers though. It's good.
So if you saw me at the bar, like I would not have talked to you. I would have been like, oh, she's. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't have had the confidence.
Really?
To, like,
huh?
And I just got really drunk back then. Like that's.
Oh well. Right. Sometimes that gives you confidence, unfortunately.
No, but then
not the right
you,
kind.
But you pass over that, and now you're just blotto, and
yeah, and that's not attractive.
But it's very, very possible that I that we passed each other.
Oh, for sure.
At a concert or at a bar.
For sure. Oxygen at the there. Plus, there's also really good restaurants. Like,
I was broke too. That's the other thing. I was broke back then.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, well, I mean, I was bartending. What? I didn't have any kids. I was certainly not.
Right. But I'm assuming if you dated dudes, they probably like weren't broke ass like me back then.
Yeah. You know what? I'd love that that's how you think of me because I wish that shit was fucking true to this day.
But it wasn't.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I mean, I've had my fair share of wealthy suitors, let's say. But,
right.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, Matt, it's been some real...
Oh, by the way, before we go anywhere about this house, this house is also owned by somebody famous. Ooh, we forgot about that part.
Yes, it used to be owned by Hank Aaron.
That's right. So,
isn't that amazing?
So I don't know how we skipped that.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So yeah, so this is like a Black History house.
It literally is. And you know, the thing about the house is that I used to drive by. I don't know if your wife told you this or if I told you this.
That you drove by it and it was like your dream house.
Yes, all the time. Like, oh my God, that's my house. That's my house. And I didn't even know until the day that I signed the papers to buy the house, the previous owner, John Johnson, was like, you know, you can make a lot of money in this house. I was like, how? I'm not selling it. What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you could turn this into like a historical landmark or something. And this was before Hank Aaron had passed.
Right.
He said, I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, this used to be Hank Aaron's house. I almost shit my pants. Like, I mean, that was the icing, the everything.
Yeah.
I was blown away. And since then, I've had like a couple of different, contractors and stuff come in. Older gentlemen have been like, hey, you know, I used to go to good parties here at this house.
Right.
I said, you just wait. Good parties still are coming.
Right. So that's where we are. This house is amazing.
It's my favorite.
It's great. Mm-hmm. So you're working at you're working, you're pretending to be a bartender, but right. you're just being cute and making some good money.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then, like, what happens?
And then
you get married and have a bunch of kids.
No. I didn't get married.
You never got married?
No, I did. Yeah, I married Shiloh's dad.
Okay.
So I have I got two baby daddies. The first one is Naima's dad. Shout out to Hassan. I met him actually while I was working at Fat Tuesdays.
Okay.
And fun guy, charming. You know, we traveled, and that was it. You know, you go on vacation with somebody, you're in love, and
of course,
tropics. You know what I'm saying? Palm trees and things like that, and you're right. Boot up. Next thing I know, here comes Naima.
Right.
And then what happened? And then after that, I don't know, 8 years later, here comes Shiloh's dad, my husband.
Right.
He turned out to be my husband for a very short time.
Okay.
And then that's it. And then here I am. Then we got divorced, and here I am just floating along like... nothing.
Before you're doing what you do now,
yes.
Racks on racks on racks.
Yes, sir.
What was your last like regular job? Or did you ever go to like an office?
Well, you know what? Actually, when I first moved here in Atlanta, because I speak French from, you know, living in Canada and that was my major, blah, blah, blah. I took a job way out in Suwannee to be a translator for a carpet company that would import and export textiles or some shit. I don't know. And that's what I did for probably about 3 months. And that's the only thing I had. But okay. my sister Jolene, actually, right when Naima was being born, she opened up a store in Little Five Points called Envy. And it was there for a good 20 years. And I hate retail. I fucking hate telling people, oh, yeah, that looks way
Where was
on.
It? What was
in Little Five Points.
No, I know. But where in Little Five? I know Little Five
so,
really well.
You know
so.
Where the yacht club is?
Yes.
Right across the street. Like literally right across
the street. When did it
close?
I feel like I've seen it.
2020, I think, right before. Yeah, it's been around for 20 years, 20 plus years. It opened in 1996. So maybe it closed in...
It's like the pandemic it closed during or
no,
before?
No, so it must have been before. So maybe 2018, 19. I can't remember now.
Get this dog off me.
Marcus, you get over here. Come on. Stay away.
I know I've seen it. I'm going to Google it, though, so I can look at the sign because I know I've seen it. Because I worked in Little Five for a couple years. And...
Oh, yeah. We were there for a long time. So that's what I did. She really just started the whole little boutique business going for everybody. I mean, like I said, my mom always had something. So that, you know, it started from that. But, yeah, for 20 years. So I was there for a while, but I really, it was a great store. I hated it. But it was beautiful and everybody loved it and that really helped.
So why did it go away? Just eventually it was time?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, after 20 years, she's like, okay, that was a successful business, you know, and then we just got busy doing what we do now. And she does the same thing.
She does the same thing you do?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she does. And she does, but she focuses a lot on women artists, but then she also does commercials, Georgia Lottery. She does everything. Like, we do the exact same thing.
So who did it first?
I don't know. I think she kind of, it was her retail store, but like I said, our mom always brought us up in fashion and stuff. But Jolene was really into dressing people. I was not, like I said, I could give a shit what you have on, you know? So Jolene was really into it. And so that translated to like local artists like Sleepy Brown wanting to be cool, you know, like us dressing him, Joy, all these different people, even local, like Rashida, just different local black celebrities.
I just saw Sleepy Brown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love him. That's
just
my
saw
favorite.
Just so the East Point, they had an East Point like
Wind Down Wednesdays or something.
That's right.
Damn it, he was there. I would have gone.
And that's where I met this guy.
Dope stories. I feel like I saw that.
Black owned Seabone.
Yes. Oh, I need one of those too. That's cute. I see black owned. It's cute.
So he's got a shop. I'm pointing the wrong way, but he's got
somewhere.
A shop.
okay.
But yeah, I'm really so I'm. I don't know if you're watching my feed, but I'm digging into that whole like world because they're all like kind of introducing me. You know I'm going to interview next today.
Who?
Gip Goody.
Oh, we love them. We did his video. I'm stepping out. Mirror. How something. Yeah.
When was that?
That's Goody, Gip Goody, and Sleepy.
Right, but
Sleepy.
When was that? How many years ago?
90.
Oh wow, long time ago.
No, maybe 2000, the 2000s. Let me not.
But yeah, so 2000s. It's interestingly enough.
The best.
Interestingly enough, I basically moved when all that shit went down. I moved in 96, and I didn't come back until 15 years ago. So, like, I kind of missed
you
the whole.
You moved out of Atlanta in 96?
Yeah, I moved to Boston. Okay. I started doing stand-up.
Oh,
and then Atlanta, like, blew up. But not as much as it has in the last 10 years, though. But it started to blow up.
Oh, yeah. The old Atlanta, as they call it, that Atlanta in the 90s, like 96, after the Olympics around that time, for a good 10 years.
Right.
Was like the best time I ever. Like, that was some of the best time of my life I had.
And were you a Freaknik goer?
I was a freak. Before I moved here, actually, that's actually how we kind of got here. We went to Black College Reunion Weekend in Daytona Beach, me and my sisters and our friend Paula, who's also my sister, basically, and another friend. We all went down there, and we saw nothing but black people. Like, we're like, well, because in Canada, you know, there's black people there, but it's different. We loved Americans.
Right.
And everybody's like, hey, yeah, you got to come to Atlanta. There's Freaknik. We're like, what's that? So we came. Holy shit. And then, like, maybe a year later, I moved here. And then that's when I worked at Fat Tuesday. So I was in the thick of it because that was a crazy popular frozen drink spot to go to an underground.
Right.
And so I wasn't a goer. I was a provider.
Got it.
I got them fucked up.
Right.
And then I went home and counted my money.
Nice. Yeah. So you said you can't remember what your sister started like dressing people for these events.
Yes, she started dressing them, and then because of
by the way, I'll invite you next time I'm going to one of these.
Yes,
events.
Please, because I'm down. I love an event. Right. Well, I say that until you ask me, and I'm like, oh no.
I mean, it was probably the latest I'd stayed up in a long time.
Isn't it fun? Last night I went to bed at 8:45.
No, we're in bed early, but this one it was down the street from my house.
Oh my god!
So that's the main reason why I even went.
Oh, they're good. Because
if it's close, I'll go.
Yeah, well, you have no excuse.
You can ask Stacy. I'll be like, hey, honey, there's this event I want to go to, and she's like, uh huh. And then it comes to it, if I've gone for a run and then I shower, I'm like, I'm out. I'm done.
No. But that was a good thing. Don't you love it? Like sometimes when you go to things that you hadn't planned on going to, you have the best fun.
Like, yeah, but I'm also, like I said, getting kind of introduced to this whole world. Do you know this guy, New Face, by chance?
New Face. I feel like I know the name.
Well, because you've probably seen him. But he's everywhere.
Is he young? Is he older?
He's like probably a little younger than us, but he's like what they call the hip-hop hoarder. He collects everything. I've met him, and he's been introducing me to these folks, and so I went to the show with him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Connect.
So anyway, so she's doing stuff, and then you start doing stuff?
I started doing stuff only because I love vintage shit, as you can see, and I love kids. Like, I always love the kids, you know, because I love Little River since he was just a little baby. But I love the kids. So one of my good girlfriends, is a good girlfriend of another girl, Rachel Johnson, who's like this major stylist she styled LeBron, Victor Cruz. Like, she does everybody, Daddy Yankee. She's fantastic. So back in the day, she was assisting someone else, Wendell, to do Music Soul Child, the Girl Next Door video. And they needed, the theme was, and it was directed by Chris Robinson, who's like, did ATL, another fabulous director. Anyways, she hit me up. She's like, hey, Renee, do you want to go shopping at the thrift store for some like kids clothes from the 70s? I'm like, do I want to?
I'm gonna take my shoes off so I don't put my feet on your couch.
Oh, yes, thanks. I meant to tell you that anyways. Hello. No, see barefoot ladies in here and men. Anyway, so yeah, I had a. So she asked me if I wanted to go shop for little kids for vintage clothes, and that's like a dream come true. So
right.
I did, and they're like, oh, you know, you might as well just come out here and bring the clothes to us. So
okay.
I did. I went on set. All the stars aligned, and that's it. The rest is history. Like, I just fell in love. The people were great. The environment was good. The money was great. It was fucking hard-ass fucking work. Like, hard work. Like, that was back in music video days when they had big budgets. They had, you know, dudes were smoking everywhere. The girls were the most scantily clad ever.
I'm sorry, what's the difference now?
Exactly. There is no difference. You're right. Well, there was a lull in big budgets.
Oh, do you know Motion Family?
Yes.
I just interviewed David.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, we went to the Bahamas together to do somebody's video, some up-and-coming girl. But they had just finished doing Gold All on My Neck. They did a 2 Chainz video back in the day, too.
Right. That's not 2 Chainz. That's...
I'm Trinidad James. My
right,
bad.
Right.
Yeah, thank you for that. See why you can't always
watch.
Call me?
Go. Exactly. That's one of his favorite videos. I said, David... I just got introduced to David.
Yes.
And I usually don't do this. Like, I never, like as you can tell, this is as much as I prepare.
Sure.
It's like, let's sit down and fire it up.
Yeah.
But I just, for some reason, I was like, hey, you've directed 150 videos. What are some of your favorites? And he picked that one as one of his favorites. And so I watched that one.
Well, I bet. Because he had full creative license. He was able to be everywhere I know. And, like, the song was amazing.
Right.
Yes.
Anyhow, super cool guy.
Yeah, sure.
But you were just literally off and running from that first. You're like, all right, cool. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I think so. I just loved it. You know, and I'm like, I got no ill will towards anybody. You know what I mean? So they're not used to my little Canadian corny self coming on set and being all happy and, you know, whatever, and no beef, no drama. And they're like, oh, hey, we like you. Can you come back? You know, I just kept assisting and, you know, doing more work. And I was happy to be there. That was when I was young and eager. You know what I mean? And I was schlepping heavy ass bags, steaming out shit smelling fucking dress pants for major groups that I cannot tell you. But it was bad. It was a bad moment. You see, it still triggers me. It was bad. We were somewhere behind scenes for NBA All-Star Weekend when he was here in Atlanta, and there were these major groups performing, and my girl was styling and assisting and all that. I had to steam out these clothes. You know, that was part of my glamorous job, was to steam out whoever needed clothes to be steamed out. So I was steaming out this one exceptionally soft pair of fluid slacks of some artist, and the smell of hot shit was so strong, and I was like, what is that? Like, and I just kept going. I was like, oh, my God, it's the steam coming from the ass of these pants. So that's really all. That's really it. That's the whole story. Like, I gag.
So literal shit?
I mean, I think so. Like, it was, and I'll never, they were cream pants. They were almost see-through. They were, and I was blown away by the smell. I didn't investigate any further. They were steamed enough.
You just said, okay, put these back on.
Yeah, here you go. These are yours. I just handed them off to whoever had to run them down the hallway, and that was it.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know how I got to tell you about hot, steamy shit.
Because I was asking about how this kind of became your...
Oh, my thing.
Your thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and...
Can I ask you something?
I'm gonna... Ask me anything.
So this is what I do for a living, right?
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You're great at it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And let's find more people to give me more money. Because
sure,
I'm so good at it.
Yes.
But in the meantime,
let's.
When people say, and I like to try to have these conversations, and it's hard, because here's the real answer. Whenever you talk to anybody who's successful at anything,
yeah.
Like, here's the real answer to, well, I busted my ass for 10 fucking years.
Right. Absolutely. Like,
right.
Sitting in my dream house through blood, sweat,
right.
And tears.
Like, that's that. Like, people kind of want to know how things happen, and it's like, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody says, oh, how did you get to interview so-and-so? It's like, well, I busted my fucking ass.
Exactly.
And lots of other mistakes from other businesses and other,
ooh,
right?
Experiences, yeah. I mean, at this, what does someone say, at this age of 50, you know what I mean? This big age, I think is what they say. I'm like, are you kidding? It really is. This is just a tangible... So, I mean, I just busted my ass for 10 years, honestly,
right.
Yeah.
Like, more like 20, though, probably,
more
right?
More like 20, yeah, seriously. But we're fortunate, I feel like, because I really love it. Like, I fucking love it. I love dressing. And, you know, my thing was that I love dressing the men. Like,
more than women?
Yes, I can't stand dressing women.
Too picky?
Very picky. And it's unfortunate. It's like, excuse me, it's a lot of hang-ups. You know, I can't wear that. It shows my cellulite. I can't wear that. My boobs look crazy. You know, oh, no. Like, just fuck. Like, it's sad because they're beautiful regardless. You know, I mean, just wear your shit. Like, that looks good. Wear it. Or that looks awful. Don't wear it. You know what I mean? Like, there's so
many
hang-ups.
But there's something in, like, inherit in like women, because I watch my wife change three times and she's
and
not even.
Your wife is the most fittest.
And she's not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere famous. And I watch her change three times.
Right. True, true, true.
So, yeah. And she's always been that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't judge. That's just how she is.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So you enjoy men because you put a suit on them and they go, I look good. Let's go.
Yeah. I do. Yes. And because I like seeing the revelation on their faces, like guys be like, oh, I'm not wearing that. I wouldn't wear that. And they put it on, they're like, yo. Do you got more of these? Can I get this in different colors? Like, you know, I could tell you about Shaq, for instance. Or did we want to wait until we get there?
No, we can go straight. We can go to Shaq.
I just remember, you know, he was anti-turtlenecks almost. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm not wearing no turtleneck. And then I put him in one. He was like, wait a minute. I need 10 of these in this color, 10 of these in that color. You know what I mean? Like, it just takes folks a minute. Even this...
I love Renee. Is that
Did you hear him? Did you hear him show me out on friggin' on the show?
That was my impression of what he would say.
Yes.
If he was gonna...
Yeah, I love him. He's the greatest guy on earth. Like, genuinely...
Did he shout you out on a recent episode?
He did. Well, Charles Barkley, actually, was dressed like another player, like one of the younger players during the playoffs.
Right.
And because everybody knows that I dress Shaq, and I guess somebody told him that I dressed Charles like that, right? Like, because it was a joke. You know, he was mimicking the other guy. And so somebody told Shaq that I had done it. And so when Charles was like, hey, you know, I want to shout out whoever gave it to you, he's like, just say thank you, Renee. Yeah, I was like, and my phone was blowing up. And I was like, what's happening? They're like, yeah, was that Shaq? You know, and he had said, yeah, just say thank you. And he's like, Renee, make him some more suits like this or something. Like, really, you know, shout me out for a good minute. And I was like, well, I guess maybe I'm just getting credit for work I didn't get credit for before, you know. But
right, because that's not the work you actually did.
It wasn't the work I actually did. You know, but I might have, but I know I put someone on to dress Charles before, so maybe it was that person. So maybe somehow I am connected. I don't know, but.
You didn't want to dress Charles?
Oh, no, I did. I do. I just wasn't able to at the time. That's all.
Oh, you know, okay.
I've dressed him before, for sure, but for one particular time, I wasn't able to.
Okay, so my understanding of, like, the industry, right? Yep. So on a movie,
yeah,
right? You've got the racks on racks on racks, right? It's like, yeah. Hey, here's what we're working with, right? And okay. we make sure we mark what the stars were wearing, and then here's what's all the crap for the extras and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
So is that what you were mostly doing, like, on sets, and then you started working for people, or how does that individually, or how does that work?
I've never actually worked on a movie.
Okay.
I've only done one TV show, and that was Read Between the Lines with Tracy Ellis Ross and Malcolm Jamal Warner, and that's where I met her. But before that, I'd always just been doing, I transitioned from music video work to commercials.
Okay.
So, and then I had, like, Shandon Anderson. Amazing.
Did you just have a bunch of, like, bikinis on a rack for these women?
Oh, my God, yes. I did the most infamous job ever. Nelly's Tip Drill. I don't know if you're aware of this video.
I'm not, off the top of my head.
Yeah, so it's it's very infamous in the black community. because it was, you know, basically just strippers and Nelly and his boys swiping credit cards down girls' booties. You know what I mean? But that's... And so my friend who asked me, he's like, hey, you know, do you want to come on? Just bring some bathing suits and some jewelry, you know, and you can just come style these girls just so I can.
You can't wear those bathing suits again. Come on.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. But, you know, but that was a really eye-opening learning experience for me because, again, I'm a little green Canadian girl and I had no idea that all this was going on, you know, and I was in awe. Them girls can dance their asses off. Like, so, and they were there voluntarily. So there was a lot of, you know, people being mad about it, like exploitation, but same breath, the girls were there voluntarily. They, from my personal inside experience, nobody was forcing them to be there. Nobody,
right.
I was even encouraging some of them to leave. I was like, what are you doing here? You are too blah, blah, whatever, whatever. You shouldn't be in this environment. You should get out.
Like, hey, you could be a regular model or whatever?
Yes. Like, what are you doing? Like, you do not have to have your, you know, I mean, I don't know, but people wanted to be there. So I didn't want to insult anybody. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's your, do you.
Right.
But I kind of hid in the bathroom a lot for that. So I really did. I really, really did. I was embarrassed that I just did, but I just.
But tell me, I feel like we should watch it though, because why would that be? Because there's so many, like that was just the trend for years.
Is, but, you know, they had a portion called, a section of BET called BET Uncut. And that was like, it was like the more soft pornish even.
Oh,
you know?
Yeesh.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Nelly, the first thing, Tip Drill. I just put in Nelly's tip and Tip Drill comes up. Let's
right.
see. Okay. Well, should I show it to you, Ray?
This just, yeah. This is an audio podcast,
okay,
but.
Okay,
but,
yes.
So where's this house?
This was some football player's house somewhere far out in rich football player land.
Okay, so Tip Drill. So this is a typical video. They're shaking butts. There's money going everywhere.
No, I feel like it's a little more explicit. It's more explicit. It was far more explicit back then. You know, they had, you know, I know back dressing people back in the day, you could not have anybody in a thong on a regular music video. So, you know, so ass out. This was a little more advanced.
Right. All right. Well, okay. These women appear to be topless now in the hot tub. Yeah, they're actually topless.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
All right. So we've seen enough.
Yeah, I told you. It's something special.
It is something special.
there you go. You're welcome. You are welcome.
Excuse me. Yep. Okay. So.
I don't think I answered about how I got from, I don't know, personal people or something.
Yeah, so you're doing music videos.
Yes, and the same people who would produce the music videos would also transition into commercial world.
Right, so this is all word of mouth. Like, you don't have a website or anything back then?
No, I didn't have a website. I didn't have anything.
You still don't have a website, I'm guessing.
I do. It's not I do, but it's kind of old. It's ReneeBrownStyles.com.
Okay.
It's old. It needs to be updated, but yeah, it's all, it's like literally miracle swinging the grace of God.
You know, my kids used to call you as Frenay.
I know that. I love that so much. Where's Frenay? Oh, I know. I told you.
So that's kind of what I thought about when I was heading over. I'm not going to Frenay's house.
You are.
That's one of those things that's just going to stick. It's so funny. You mentioned River.
Oh, I love him.
God, he's so adorable. And
he is.
And now, have you seen his long?
I was just about to comment about his hair. It's fantastic.
His hair goes over his eye.
It's very Spandau Ballet.
It's
very
amazing. It's amazing.
Flock of Seagulls ish.
Right.
But
he's still so cute, which is good because when he's a terror, I'm sure you've heard.
Oh yes, I've heard. Yes, you know, I've heard tales of terror tales. I've heard a few, maybe, but you know, I don't have any boys, so I just assume boys were terror.
But so. And nowadays, by the way, one does not even need a website. You can just have Insta, I think, and start a career with anything, whether it's a store or a personal service or anything. But there was a time when you like had to have a website. But for someone like you, you never really did because you were just known in the industry.
Yep. Yeah. Fortunate. I was fortunate enough to be able to float just on my, you know, my previous work that people knew about it. Word of mouth. Yeah.
What was the last like dry spell you had where you were like, oh, man, like nothing is coming in?
That's a really good question. You know that because in this business, we always say feast or famine.
Right.
Know? And so the crazy thing is, and I'll tell you this, is that when my best friend Karen passed, my best friend for 40 years, literally, when she passed, we knew she was going to pass. And she said, she's like, you know, Renee, I'm going to send you lots of jobs and a husband. And she passed in 2016, right? So before that... So, like, before that, really, the work was, the work was always consistent, but there would be times where, like, hey, is my phone on? You know, like, it had been a while. You know, like, it's been a while. Since, honestly, I'm telling you, the day that of her funeral, which I told her I was not going to go to, and she said, it's okay, she's not going to be there anyway. So I didn't have to go. That day, I was booked on a TLC job, like the Discovery Channel, doing, funny enough, on a Tyler Perry set, but it was for some trailer park.
Not the band TLC.
No, not the band TLC. Something else. I can't remember what it was, but it was some trailer park trash scandal, something kind of thing. And it was a real big series, and I was on that set working. And I have not stopped working ever since. I promise you. I kid you not. So I haven't, thankfully, please, if I'm wood, that I have not. It hasn't been a... There's been like maybe a few weeks where I'm like, oh, what's happening? You know, like... But other than that, I just know that something's always coming. I hope something's always coming. Please let something always be coming. You know, I don't.
Do you pray a lot?
I do. Yeah, I do. I don't go to church necessarily. No, I just have my own spiritual beliefs.
Yeah, you don't need a building.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think this room is a church.
It is. I think so. This house is a church. You know, I can't say my address on here, but you know, like. Even it's magical.
It's got a magical name.
It does. It has a magical name. The numbers, you see the numbers are all...
Yeah.
Like it's magical. So this place is like my happy place. I wake up fucking ecstatic. I go to bed ecstatic, even if I'm, you know, just me, myself, and I, you know,
right.
I'm happy.
But do you pray for things like that? Do you pray for work?
No. Barkus, come. I don't pray for work. I pray for the ability to take care of my kids.
Okay.
You know, so I and I don't know if I really necessarily pray specifically. I think I more give thanks is honestly what I do. Like when I talk to God, it's like literally, thank you, God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Like, I swear to you, that's really mostly what it is. Or like, no, actually, I talk to God about maybe sending me a good husband, like a good fucking permanent date would be really great. You know what I'm saying? For fuck's sakes.
You must get asked out a lot, though.
Oh, that's very kind of you, but I don't really. I mean,
you show up on set. You're fabulous.
I mean, they
you have
like
a very unique
enough.
Look.
Yeah, they like me enough.
Right.
But I mean, you know, maybe I'm being picky.
Probably.
Probably. I tend to like tall and fine and buff dudes, and they tend to have other options as well, if you know what I mean. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Let my friends tell it. I win in the finest experience category. You know what I mean? I've had my share of really
You've been on jets and all that kind of stuff.
I have actually. Yep. Uh-huh. I've been flown to different places. I get flued out, as the kids have said in the past. It's probably corny now, but yeah, I have before. You know.
But like, you want a permanent one.
Yeah, I want a permanent one. You know, it's time. Like, I want someone to share with this with, like, someone who gets this, who wants to. You know, I can have a house here and a house in friggin' anywhere else. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But like, someone who gets this understands my love for old shit.
Right.
My old ride that. I don't know if it's in the carport over there, that convertible Range Rover thing I got going on. Like, someone who understands my quirkiness, my shit.
Right.
You know, like you and Stacey.
Right.
We all understand each other's shit.
100%.
I love that. So, you know, that's what I'm hoping to get for, like, the next 50 years of my life. So we'll see. I got to stop making bad decisions, though.
Well, if any of us knew the magic formula, then...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I keep hope alive all the time. I'm not worried. I'm sure one day my prince will come. And, you know, in the meantime, I've been entertaining myself with some special folks. One I just had to let go because, it's too bad. It was a good one, but I had to let him go.
Too much drama?
I don't know. Drama kind of, just had a lot going on. And
okay.
It was just time, unfortunately. It's too bad because I'm really big on aesthetics. And he was good for the eyeballs.
Right. I think that's important.
It is. And then my friends accuse me of being shallow, but I'm like, you know, it's
shallow.
Like, it's pleasing to the eyes, and I'm a nice person to every fucking body. So let me have a little eye candy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I'm not going to marry an ugly person.
I mean, yeah, well, ugly is a matter of opinion. I'm fucking dead ass ugly to somebody. And drop dead horse to somebody else. You know what I mean? Like,
But I like what you said about gratitude.
Yeah.
Because it's been said that when you're in gratitude, it's hard to be upset or miserable or.
Yeah, you have to recognize that everything, especially, you know, as you know, I called this my lump in the road, you know, when I had my breast cancer that was literally my lump in the road. It was a lump. It's gone, never to return again, please God, you know. So before that, even with my two best friends passing within months of each other, you know. And even before then, I always had an attitude of gratitude. I was always very grateful. I always was happy to be here. You know, like, I'm thankful for this breath that we get to breathe. You know what I mean? Like, it's not everybody gets to do it. So as I get older, my wrinkles, my gray hair, just fucking cellulite, everything, I don't give a shit because I'm happy to be here. You know what I mean? So that's always an attitude of gratitude. I was fully bald, chemo. My hair started growing back. I look like an old man, and then my hair would start to grow, and I'd be like, this is gratitude growth.
Because you could never tell now.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Like, you could never tell that at one point you were...
All the way.
You were
a cancer patient. Yeah.
Right.
Crazy, right? Yeah, I'm very grateful. That shit is mind-blowing.
And what you said, you lost your two best... One of them is your downstairs neighbor, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. My best friend, Willie, who... he was my best friend...
So that's his poster, the Star Wars poster?
No, well, it's his in homage to him. I actually got it out in L.A., and I shipped it back here for him. But those are his guitars behind us.
Okay.
And, and there's, like, remnants of them everywhere. Karen's books are in here. Like, yeah. So, yeah, Karen, Willie, my downstairs neighbor. Karen passed away from all types of health-related issues. And then within 3 months of her passing, Willie unexpectedly passed away downstairs in our old house. Yeah. I mean, but I don't think he passed away there. I think he passed away on the way to the hospital, but I just refused to believe he passed away in my presence. But I do remember both of them taking their – I feel like they both took their last breaths with me there. Isn't that crazy? Like, and then 3 months later, then I got my lump in the road diagnosis. So it's just madness. So people walking around here like fucking taking life for granted, you're bugging. Like, just – you're bugging. Go live it up. Do everything you can. Love everybody. Be nice to everybody. Like – I don't know. Just be, like you said, very unique. You know, that's my philosophy.
So I turned 50 this year.
Ooh, you turn. You're not turning yet.
No, I already did.
Oh, well.
April 5th.
Oh, happy belated. Did I know that? Probably.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, yay.
So I have been thinking about death all the time.
Oh, isn't it crazy? It's crazy. It's awful. It's heavy. So, yeah. Plus, we got kids. Like, we got kids. Shit's getting older, you know, like. Shit hurts where it didn't hurt before. My eyesight, I need glasses, I believe. Like, what the fuck? I'm happy, but it's still a trip.
Do you think about it a lot?
I don't, maybe not a lot, because that makes me sad. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me sad. So I try not to think about shit that makes me sad. Like, grief will overtake me at any given fucking blowing of the wind. You know what I mean? Like, any, oh shit, you know, that wind. reminds me.
Yeah. So Stacy, my wife, yes. those listening, she lost her mom at an early age.
Yes.
So Stacy, I feel like, is kind of a lot more sort of like present to it. And I haven't been. I haven't really lost. Up until a few years ago, I hadn't really lost anybody. Mm-hmm. So I lost my dad in November of 2020. Jeez. And I think about him fucking all the time.
Yep.
Like, yeah. all the time.
All the time. Everywhere, all the time. I must have brought up their names a million times and we just talked.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then obviously you think about your own whatever.
Mortality, like what you got going on.
Right.
Mortality.
And I look at these kids and I'm like, I hope you fucking appreciate what the fuck you got here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%. 1,000%. Like, it's a trip. It's really because it's inevitable. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how you're going to go, when you're going to go. It's just inevitable.
Can I tell you my big fear? You want to hear something crazy?
Sure, of course,
this is
yeah.
so irrational and crazy.
That's all right.
But I see my kids, and they're in, you know, the grades that they're in. And my biggest fear is that, like, you go back, right? And then you have to do life over. I don't want to do middle school over.
Like, I don't want to do anything over.
Right.
I don't want to.
And it's completely irrational because I probably won't be conscious of it anyway.
Right.
But part of me thinks that I will. And I'll be like, every day get a... Because I remember counting down the days starting in freshman year. Like, okay, 3 more years I can be out of the house. 2 more years I can be out of the house. Like, long countdowns. Yeah. Isn't that insane that that's my biggest fear about dying?
That you're going to come back and have to go back to repeat middle school?
And fucking hate it and be unpopular and deal with all those feelings.
Isn't that awful?
It is.
No, instead, we get to relive it through our kids. Which is a little crazy.
But that's why they say youth is wasted on the young, because they don't,
is.
Right?
Oh, that's, I believe that so thoroughly. Because, but what, back then I was fine as shit. Why I'm walking around half naked, like, and now I'm like, oh my God. Like, if I would have known then what I know now.
Right.
But the good thing is, so again, Willie, in his infinite wisdom, would say, you know, for the first 40 years of your life, you learned how to walk, talk, drive a car, all these things. He goes, and now you can take what you learned for the last 40 years and apply it to the next 40.
Okay.
You know, so to me, that's great. All the shit I've learned the last 50 years.
Right.
I know now better what I want, what I don't want, what I'm going to put up with, you know, what matters, what doesn't matter. And now imagine that beautiful life ahead, currently and ahead. Knowing, having that knowledge, you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I used to stress out on set about, I know this little girl got, she was at a park and she got shit on her knees. Excuse me. She got something on her knees, like grass. We're in a park. And one of these rookie type guys comes up to me and is like, oh my God, you see, she's got grass stains. I was like, dude, she's in a park. I promise you it's okay. It's not a big deal. And it was not a big deal. But maybe the younger me would have flipped out and be like, oh shit, how am I going to do this? Continuity, that's crazy. Like, now you realize, calm down. So I really appreciate that. I'm not saying, you know, that going forward, I still don't freak out about shit. But when I catch myself, I realize that, oh, hey, calm down. It's not that big a deal. It's helped a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you find out is like that old saying, like, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff.
It's all small stuff. I swear, even no matter heartache, everything, all that shit is small stuff. Like, the biggest thing is, you know, I remember something crazy. I'm driving by this. I'm always on set. We're always on set everywhere. Freelance life, you know, we're anywhere and everywhere. And so on my way to the gym, on those occasions that I do get there, I pass by like the Emory Acute Long-Term Care Hospital, I think. And then on the right side is like is a cemetery. And then there's like a church and a parking lot there. So I was like, okay, again, talking to God, thank you, God, that I don't have to be, you know, thank you. And please look out for the people that are in there right now, you know, and thank God I'm not in this cemetery. And then the other day I looked at my call sheet and the fucking location was at the church in the same parking lot as the acute long-term care. And I was there to work and make a difference in the world and, you know, do something great. And I was like, look at that. Like, close, but not there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still like, I was like, thank you. I don't have to be there. I don't have to be there. Oh, but I get to be here in this great capacity. You know, like, it's just little small things, you know, just shit that you just, I don't know, maybe that I realize now or appreciate now as I get older. So, yeah, it's wasted on the youth, but I sure am grateful for this wisdom I've learned.
An actor can look at something mm-hmm. like an old work and cringe, or maybe a song from a mm-hmm. singer. Like, do you see stuff ever that you like wish you could do again?
Lots of stuff. Oh my gosh. Lots of things. You know, one of the things, and it's probably small, but it's in print, so it's forever. There is a Sierra magazine from the Atlanta magazine when she was like first coming out. I mean, she was supposed to be, I dressed her for the cover of the magazine. And I put these big fucking gold stud earrings in her ear that looked like fucking Frankenstein you know, the bolts on the side of his head. And to this day, and I mean, everybody, it looked great. Everything else is cute. To this day, them shits haunt my dreams. Like, and it's stupid. No one cares. But I'm like, oh my God, why did I put those big earrings on her? And it's so dumb. Sometimes with Shaq, a lot of the time, you know, because Shaq, we work so much, you know, like, he's a pro. Well, he's a pro long time ago, been a pro. You know, I'll want to reach in there and fix his shirt. Maybe the collar's doing something funny. He'll be like, Renee, just stop that. He's like, no one's going to see that. What they're going to say, I'm not going to buy this whatever product he's selling, you know, because his collar is up. He's like, go. You know, and it's, and I'm like, okay. And I'll see it later. I'll be like, see, I see that.
Renee, you should get the General Insurance, I think.
Yeah, you got to get a little deeper. You got to get a little deeper. Yeah.
I think that's like what's so ironic about Shaq is that like people kind of made fun of that, right? Like a lot of athletes, you know, go into sort of just this like whatever mode because they get asked stupid questions, but he was kind of always that way. And then he gets brought on, right? And like now he's like the most beloved.
It's the most deserving admiration and adoration that he gets. Like for people to love Shaq as much as they do, they don't love him enough. You know what I mean? Like he is, I'm on set with him and I get teary eyed. I see him do sweet things for people randomly all the time. People like makes my eyes teary right now because he'll do little videos for people and they'll cry. Oh my God, my son, he really, you know, and it makes such a difference to them. Like all the time. I'm a soft fucking heart myself. I curse a lot, but I'm a soft heart. Like, you know, I keep money in my pocket to give to homeless people. You know what I mean? Like, I love everybody. And Shaq and I are, like, similar like that. He just got way more. He's got a deeper pocket to pull from than me at the moment. But, you know what I mean? It's so touching. He really is that genuine of a person. He's a good guy. Like, and he really, and the stuff, that everybody always, like you said, they, you know, they make fun because he's everywhere. But he really does use all that stuff. The alkaline water he really uses. The friggin' icy hot he really uses. I mean, Epson printers. Like, he uses everything. Like, everything. So,
you got to get one of these printers.
I got one of those printers, actually. They actually gave me one. Yes, I do. And that's so cool. I get to see, like, oh, that, to go back to your point about the some things I see that make me cringe. He has these cutouts in all over, and I think maybe Best Buy. I'm not sure. They're Epson. And he looks great. It looks great. And sometimes to dress him is not always my vision. It's others' vision, other creatives, you know, clients' visions, and I just make it happen. So sometimes he'll have on something that is not my favorite, that I did not perhaps pick out, but that I had to get because that was the criteria. So sometimes I'll see things that are not necessarily my style and it'll make me cringe because I'll be associated with that. But then again, I have to say, ah, fuck it. I don't care what people think, you know.
So you don't like the Shaq cutouts that are in Best Buy right now?
Well, no, I do. I do. I like them now. Just sometimes, like, I want to fix his shirt. You know what I mean? Like, just things I see, like, oh, shit, it looks wrinkled by the shoulder. I should have pulled it down. You know, like, things like that. Just the shit that I'm seeing that maybe other stylists are going to see and be like, who did that? That he looks sloppy or something, you know? But that's just me.
They're not thinking that, though, probably.
Probably not, but, you know, it's insecurities.
Again,
you know?
my experience, I don't have extensive experience on set, but my experience is, like, when it's time for, like, last looks, the hair people are always going to be doing something, even when there's nothing to be done, just because they're like...
Same with us. Oh, yeah.
Right? Just...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Lint roller to get that piece of non-existent lint off the shirt.
Right. So it's like you're never satisfied.
Yeah, no. Plus, yeah, no. And you also sometimes you have to just sort of pretend you're doing shit because... When you're being paid to last look, so you got to go last look. You know what I mean? Like, and they know it, and I make fun. I'm like, okay, yeah, let me just put this over here.
But if you've got a good working relationship, I feel like, with the AD or director, and they say last look, you could just go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do that, too. A lot of times. I'm like, oh, no, last looks are good. You know, because I'm also looking at the monitor. So I can see it ahead of time.
When you're like back there smoking a cig, just like I'm just chilling at the monitor.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Vaping.
Yeah. Oh, no, none of those things, I'm afraid.
I know. But seriously, if you have a good relationship, like I would assume you wouldn't have to do that necessarily.
Yeah,
we're good.
I still do want to maybe get close. Maybe sometimes there's things I don't see that maybe the director will see in the lens I don't see. So I still want to get close up.
Right.
You know, make
sure. So then how did this special relationship with Senior O'Neill, how did that begin and happen?
Well, you know what? I think we've been working together for probably, I think maybe he said maybe 10 years or something.
Wow.
5 to 10 years is a safe amount of time. But I would do it sporadically with him before. He had a steady stylist that he had before. And then she, in the last 5 years, I guess, retired. And we were on a job together. And he was like, hey, Renee, you live here? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, you got the job. I said, I got the job. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, come to my house tomorrow and we'll talk about it. And so I did. Now, I'd been to his house before, you know, his other houses. I've been to his house before. So it was cool. Like, we just went there. He's like, all right, well, now, you know, now you're in. Shook my hand. And since then, it's been like they call me every time. Pretty much every time. I mean, a lot of times, because he does so much and it's not always here, I have to send clothes or, you know, it's in the hands of other people. But yeah, it just literally just started from us already having a bit of a relationship before, then to me being on set with him more frequently at the right time when the other lady was retiring. He's like, hey, and then, you know, we got along. Like, plus, not to mention, he loves Canadian girls. I just want to let you all know that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he loves everybody, but, you know, he's always like, oh, well, you know, he's like, hey, have you ever dated a Canadian? Well, you should. That's my guy. You know, so, yeah, so that helped. I mean, I don't know if it really, but the fact that I do great work also helped.
Well, no, of course. No, but of course.
But yeah, but I mean, so, and plus we get along, you know, we're about the same, we are the same age, you know, and I don't bother him.
Right.
You know, like, that's just my big brother, really, the best. Have I said that enough times?
Yes, you have. Okay. You can take a sip of your water, too,
okay,
if you want.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have to turn down work? Do you have to, like, refer a lot of work?
Yes. Yeah, which is interesting, which kind of prompts me to I don't have anything tangible, but it's happening. It's in the works, I believe. Some type of agency, because a lot of times I'll get a call. Like, just recently, I just had one of my assistants. I put her on to a job with Anthony Hamilton and another artist. I'm sorry, I don't recall the name
right now.
It's okay. And someone had reached out to me like, hey, I'd asked you to style Anthony Hamilton before. Are you available? And I'm like, and you know, what's the rate and what's the day? And I was like, well, I'm not available for that day or really necessarily that rate, but let me put you on to my
Yeah,
assistant.
I think it might be time for you to do that.
Well, I do it a lot. I've been doing it a whole lot, like a whole lot. And also the good thing is that I have an amazing, you know, Taylor, my assistant. I don't even like to call people my assistants. It's a weird thing to me, like... You know, she gets the job done like I get the job done. You know what I mean? That's my backbone. She does a lot of the heavy lifting. I can send her on jobs now so we can divide and conquer.
Right.
So when I have Shaq, like just last week I had Shaq. We had Shaq and somebody, Shark. We did a Shark.
Shark Tank?
Shark products. No, like a Shark. I can't tell you what the hell the product was.
Gymshark?
No.
Sharknado?
No.
Vacuum cleaner Shark?
Shark Week. No. Like Shark, like, yeah, vacuum cleaner stuff Shark. Like
okay.
That. Appliance Shark. And we had to do
Renee,
that.
Renee, you should buy. You should buy a Sharknado.
Oh, yeah. He should. Yeah. but it wasn't Shaq. It wasn't Shaq and Shark. It was, I had a Shark commercial, and then also had a Shaq commercial at the same time.
Got it.
So I was able to leave her there and go do it.
Right.
But other times, though, I know I've been on set, and I was trying to leave Taylor with Shaq and me go to the set because I was the head stylist on the team, and you know, I should go do that. But I told Shaq, I was like, yeah, I said, well, you know, you'll have Taylor with you tomorrow. He's like, where do you think you're going? I said, well, you know, I have to go, you know, he's like, no, how much are they paying you? What are you doing? So I had to go and tell this particular producer the next day, hey, you know, I can't finish this job, but I, you know, my team is here. We had a full pre-pro meeting with all the client and the director and stuff, and we killed it. I had already done all the things I needed to do. I was still able to go on set every day. And while, thankfully, Shaq's got some kind of magic powers, while I was at this pre-pro meeting with, like, five dudes in my team, Shaq FaceTimes me. And I was like, oh, you guys, I got to take this. Oh, actually, he FaceTimed me once. I couldn't answer because I was really right in the middle of it. And then he hit me again. I was like, oh, shit, he's calling. I got to do it. And they're like, is that Shaq? And so Shaq is on. He's like, Renee, he goes, you know, are those the guys you're leaving me for? And they were thrilled. And I was like, I'm sorry, you know, I have to decide whether or not you're going to be mad at me or Shaq's going to be mad at me. Shaq wins every time.
Right.
Every time. So the producer at the time, I think, punched the wall. He was mad when I told him. Yeah. He's like, well, I didn't hire your assistant. No, but you're still getting me. Like, thankfully, Shaq doesn't have to go on set sometimes until later in the afternoon. And we start shooting hella early. So I did my part. I went to set hella early, made sure everybody was set, good to go, and then I left a very competent team on set, and then I left and went and handled Shaq by myself. Like, it works out. So Yeah. I've had to turn down jobs at the same time I've been able to still maintain them and keep them because I can.
Yeah, well, it seems like that would be the way to go, though. If you have, you've got your people, and then if they want you, they pay even more because you're the person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. But they still have to pay me and still let me leave. Like, you know what I mean? Because you're still going to get, I'm not going to leave you hanging. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're going to get everything that you've asked of me and more, because that's what we do. We over-deliver, like I said. One, right. I give you seven.
Right.
So
I can give – I asked for an extension cord, and she brought me – like, if you were gonna mow your lawn with an electric lawnmower and you needed a cord that would go all the way to the front and the backyard.
Abundance.
I like that. No, that's a good context to come from, though.
You know, yeah.
Just come from abundance.
Yeah, this is the house of God abundance.
There's a phrase that Stacy and I use. Uh-huh. I forgot where we got it. Things are always working out for us.
Yes, because that's factual.
Right? But we've stopped saying it. And now I'm like, we got to remember to like start. Because like, oh, this. And then the solution comes. It's like, you know what? Things are always working out for us.
Always, like always. And someone else said, I saw someone said, you know, just imagine you've survived every single day of your worst day, right? Like here we are. We've survived. We're still here. Not only are we surviving, we're thriving. You know, like I really, really, really believe in that whole concept. Like it always work out. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I had to get a suit to Deion Sanders for this Aflac commercial. It was being made in L.A. I needed it on set at 8 a.m. in Alabama. The guy didn't know how it was going to get to me. Thankfully, I had an assistant who was just working out in L.A. She stayed later, took the red eye, brought it to me. My sister met her at the airport in Atlanta. She drove the suit to me. And as I stepped onto Dion's trailer, my sister stepped up behind me with the fucking suit.
Wow.
Like, it always works out. And that was like a major custom-made bit. Like, you know, that was his look. So if we didn't have that, I was through. Like, it was custom, the client colors. It always works out. It always, always worked.
My understanding is that Dion will not wear the same suit for like 3 years or 5 years or something crazy like that.
No, Dion's style is off the chain, and he paid me the biggest compliment. When I came back to set, my racks were cleaned like a pterodactyl bone. You know what I mean? Like it looked like there was nothing but empty hangers on this full rack, which means that he loved everything that I shopped for him. And, you know, and you're supposed to, you know, you're just supposed to shop within a budget and then return the stuff that we don't use. Not Dion. He deserves all of that. And he took every stitch of clothing and shoe. And that was such a compliment to me because it's freaking prime time. What? You like what I bought for you? Shit. That's validation in itself that I didn't even ask for. I mean, it was like clean to the bone. Yeah. It's not crazy. So, yeah, I don't know how I got to that either, but yeah. And if you want the plaque behind there, I keep looking at this plaque. That's from Tag Team from another commercial I did, you know, for the Geico scoop. There it is.
I don't know if
you saw that commercial.
So this is I'm learning so much, by the way, because I was just at David's house.
Oh, yes, yes.
David K.A. Is it David K. or David K.? I don't know how which he goes by because it stands for something. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has got a lot of these.
Oh, tons of those. That's my one and only so far.
And so I was like, oh, the people who make the videos get those too? He's like, yup. So yours says, hang on, I'm going to read this. Hang on.
Uh-huh. Hang on, Can we move this?
Okay. Well, I don't want to. That sound is going to be really annoying for people, so we'll stop. Okay. Now we'll edit around this. Frenay Brown, to commemorate RAA Award 4 times platinum. Whoop, there it is. By Tag Team, special CD 5. It says 4 times, but you only get the one. I thought they put.
You think, right? Oh, no. Because it's platinum, though. So that's the.
So this is. Geico. It was one of those Geico ads.
It was a Geico ad.
Where. And the tag, like they say, having this insurance is like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so this one, what was the thing?
So this was. It was it's like having Tag Team perform in your kitchen.
Right.
You know, or Tag Team serve you ice cream in your kitchen.
And they're saying, scoop, there it is. Scoop,
there it is, yep. And that was it. And so DC Glenn, you know, the man with the bald head, man, I got that in the mail. Like, he was a really good dude. We connected. We had the fitting downstairs here.
Nice.
Like, it was amazing. They're both super duper cool dudes. And
did they have their own Tag Team jacket?
No. So, well, the one on the right hand had his own Tag Team jacket.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, right. Yep. Yeah. Because, I mean, they came. They didn't know what I was going
to
be bringing.
I've said this often, things I say to Stacy. Mm-hmm. It's like, one hit can set you up for life.
For one hit. Yes.
I was in the car the other day. That song came on. Mm-hmm. River singing it. And I thought, River's nine, ooh, right? You could be 100 or you could be nine. Everybody knows that fucking song.
Everybody.
And it will forever.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's like just sort of in our thread of life.
Like, right.
That's it. It's
just like, so it. You write a hit. You write a good hit. Ooh. And it will just get you, you're set.
Yeah,
so
well,
let's
I
do
mean,
that.
There's okay. I'm ready. Let's go. Well, you're about to go meet all of the friggin' the most talented motherfuckers on the planet.
But what I'm learning though? Hang on, I'm gonna come back around. Hang on. What I'm learning though is that through my friend Zach, who's an amazing photographer,
Zach Wolf. Hello, I know people. I love people. They are phenomenal. Yes.
Is between Zach and New Face is how I'm getting all these interviews.
Yeah.
And Zach and I have talked about this, and Zach is like, listen, like he names 20 people that none of y'all ever heard of listening right now. Maybe you have. Uh-huh. But he's like, there's no Jeezy, there's no, you know, without all these other people. He's like, Matt, there have been people who had the biggest record like in this city for like a month.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the story I think you should tell. Right.
Yes.
And like, yeah, eventually, like, talk to Big Boy or whatever, but like, get the whole story. And so that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, so you're getting the Dungeon Family. Are you talking to Rico Wade and all them?
Yeah. So it's like, so Gip is obviously Dungeon Family. C-Bone is second generation Dungeon Family.
Sure, yeah. All related.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what kind of where I'm going with this stuff, which is pretty cool. But
well,
yeah, Zach
amazing.
Is Zach's awesome.
Yeah. I can't remember. I've worked with him on lots of different projects, but I like that whole crew, like Young Bloods. I mean, that was my era. That was my era of doing the music videos. Like, I look back and the kids are like, oh, you've done this and that. Like, they get so geeked. But it cracks me up because the music, you know, I mean, that was then. Like, I was, you know, the long white tee, that whole era, the jerseys. And the white, like, everything, like, Lean With It, Rock With It. All these different songs from it, like, we did the videos. It trips me out.
The Jabos.
Yes, the Jabos hanging baggy. Yes, all of that. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I didn't do Grand Poobah. That's where I got that line from. But, no, I mean, all the Atlanta folks, I love them. Like, they are the most talented. Like, it's a real fucking wealth of genius down here.
I think so, too. That's what I want to do. I want to tell these freaking stories.
Yes, please do. Yeah, Youngblood, you should get holler at them. Because they're, you know, they're like, you know, it's like, roll, I know you waiting for daddy. It won't be long, shorty. Be patient, because I'm coming to you. You know, it's like, riding dirty on 85. Slow, taking it easy. I don't want nothing to keep me from you. I mean, that is like the worst absolute rendition ever in life. But that song is the fucking jam. Like, that is... I mean, to this day, I blast it. So there's so many stories like that, though. So many really good artists. Like, yeah, you're about to be in a night. You're going to be talking to these mics forever. Tons. Like, yeah. Sleepy Way. Have you talked to Sleepy yet? Are you going to get him?
I have not heard of Sleepy yet.
Oh, yeah. Sleepy's a good one. I could talk to him for you. You know what I mean? Like,
that would be great.
Good. There's so many people. The joy, there's
anybody you can help me connect me with would be amazing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't really get out like I used to, but I still keep up with folks. But
yeah, just like a simple text intro is, you know, goes a long way. You know what I mean? And let me tell you this. I have been the thing that I experienced at this show, this what do you call it? The wind down thing.
Oh yeah, wind down Wednesday.
So I got to go backstage and I watched all these folks, and yeah, most of them, like, they're not like as popular as they once were.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like Big Boy is not what he was like 10 years
ago. No, it's just different. Yeah.
But like that thing, like there wasn't 20,000 people at that park. You know what I mean?
No. Mm-mm.
But they're still amazing artists. And I just watched him and pretty much everyone there just be generous.
Yeah.
Generous with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, they're good guys.
Welcoming, generous, but not just, and again, it's like, oh, you're with New Face, you're cool by us, right?
Yeah, no.
And that's all it took. It's not like I got introduced to them by Shaq or by...
Right, sure.
And so I watched them be, like, cool with me. and like other people, just other people.
Yeah, it's beautiful to observe.
Right?
It's
like, so I watched, nice. Like, so Pastor Troy is up there, and
yeah,
again,
I love him.
Like,
yeah, good guy.
Like, he's not, you know, he's not the most famous person in the world, but like, to these people, he really is.
Oh, no, he is a legend to us. And you know what I mean? People love him.
And he got right into the crowd and was singing, and when his set was over, he's like, hey, I'm going to be by this food truck taking pictures with y'all. And like, he doesn't
have to
do that.
Yeah, down to earth. They're just people.
You know, but like, but you've seen it go the other way.
Oh my God, yes! People get full of themselves and that, which is, you know, I wouldn't say I don't associate. You know what I mean? But like, that's another reason why, again, I love Shaq, because he's not that. He's approachable, but I mean, you know, he's earned the right for people to never talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, he's put in his blood, sweat, and tears again. But I've seen people go the other way, and it's frightening and it's disgusting. Like, what makes you any different? You know, like, it just trips me out to see people go crazy over people that I know are bad people. And they're only going good, they're only being happy about them because they're famous.
Right.
You don't know them. You have no idea. There's one of my friends sent me this meme that had, someone had said, oh, look, there goes a billboard of the person who was really mean to me. It's true.
Right.
It's unfortunately
true. And if you're good to me, like, I'm down for you for life.
Yeah.
For life, I'm down for you, right?
No drama.
I've had people, you know, that I've been able to interview or even just randomly be nice to me, and they didn't have to. And it's like, okay, well, now, like, I'm in your corner for life.
Yeah, now we're cool forever.
Right.
Forever. You just show me that bit of grace, or you know what I mean? And now we're good.
Like, right. And on the same token, somebody a lot less famous than you tried to big time me, and F you.
Yeah,
bye.
F you. What are you smelling yourself? That drives me crazy, though. I cannot stand it. Like, that happens, though, all the time. Even on sets, like, I'm not a fan of, you know, like, the hierarchy, you know, where, oh, you can't cross this line because this is where client is. I go into client and act a fool, too. Like, hey, you see my shoes? You like, you know, like I just treat everybody like we're all equals because
right.
We are. Like, I don't, you're bugging. Like, it drives me crazy. I don't like that. I never like the VIP section because... what makes you more important than that person over there?
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't get it. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I haven't circulated in those circles enough. Maybe we're...
No, I think you're right on. All right, well, listen, I like to wrap up with a series of Atlanta favorites questions. These are the Atlanta favorites quiz. There are no wrong answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Renee, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Chicken and cheese eggs with raisin toast and... plain hash browns.
Okay. Do you have a current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Oh, I'm going to be real stereotypical and say I love me some juicy crab. It don't matter where it is. I love juicy crab. There's that. And I also like the Edgewood Curb Market Afro Dish in there. That's a really good place to eat.
Okay.
Yep.
Publix or Kroger?
Publix.
Publix.
No hesitation.
I mean... no hesitation. I do still love Kroger, but Publix is just, it's a pleasure. It's really a pleasure.
Shopping is a pleasure.
It is. I'm not going to lie. And plus, I've also done a couple commercials for Publix, and they really are who they say they are.
Okay.
I mean, from what they showed me.
Did you dress up the tomatoes, you mean?
I sure did. I put them in little cocktail outfits. No, I had to dress. Yeah. No. You know, the customers and the, you know, make sure their uniforms are perfectly done what they're supposed to do. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Finish the sentence. I take MARTA blank.
Because it's smarter.
Well, that is the correct answer. I don't believe it's honest.
No, I love that I take MARTA for fun. I don't know. I don't take MARTA anymore.
Okay. Now, listen, the most common answer is to the airport or never.
Yeah.
Like, those are the most common answers.
Well, I think and have you heard the acronym? Is that the right thing? Moving Africans Rapidly Through Atlanta?
Well, that's in the 80s, unfortunately, that's what they said.
Oh, well, I don't think it's so important. I think it's kind of funny.
Okay. Some people are very offended by it.
Are they? Oh, moving Africans rapidly through Atlanta. I don't know. I mean, Africans, maybe they could have moving asses rapidly through Atlanta. That's better, I guess.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, rank these in importance to you. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
In order of importance to me?
To you.
To me.
Then I have to get my list for the rest of them. I don't want to forget.
Okay, let me. To me, Hawks, Braves, Falcons, United.
Okay. You say like you're not sure about your own choices.
That because you know what? For shit's sake, I don't go to enough friggin' live sporting events. So anybody out there who wants to take me to some live sporting events, let me know. Because for real, that's what it is.
Okay. Solveig or Tassili's?
Oh, that's a rude one, you know, because Tassili's is their freaking spicy kale sandwich. Ask your wife. I had her, and I didn't have her. She so kindly went and got me Tassili's wrap, and it's the best ever. Solveig is pretty good, but it hurts my stomach, so I'm going to go with Tassili's.
Okay. Fair.
Okay.
Do you watch the television show Atlanta?
No, I have not watched it very much.
Really good. You should watch it. I will skip that one then. What is your favorite festival in Atlanta?
Oh, what is my favorite? Maybe the Caribbean Festival, but, you know, I don't even go to that. So I also like the Sweet Auburn Festival. I like it for maybe the history of it and walking down Auburn Avenue and things like that. But I don't. One Music Festival. That's really good too.
Okay.
That's definitely a favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the best concert you've ever seen in Atlanta?
Oh, in Atlanta. Who did I see? Jeez. Oh, I don't know. It got to be Outkast, CeeLo. It might have been Outkast. I'm just going to go ahead and say the obvious choice cuz it's obvious for a reason to me. Yes.
Do you remember which one though?
Well, several. There was one, I think, that their last one that they did at Centennial Olympic Park, where I snuck down my sister because she bougie, she don't care. She bought herself VIP tickets, and so we just somehow got her wristbands, and me and my girl Paula went right down to the front and had the best time. I mean, it was Outkast. Plus, we already know them, so you know it was cool. Like, it was the best. That was the best one, I think. I had to pick.
That does get mentioned a lot.
I bet.
Everybody was there.
Phenomenal.
I was not there. I should have been there.
I'm sorry, yes.
But I was not there. What year was that? Was that 16 or 18? What year was that?
Not 18, 16.
Okay. All right.
It must have been 16.
The final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Oh.
Frenay Brown.
Oh, I love River. Let's see. who should you have next? Good question, you know. I don't know why. I think you're, well, I wouldn't say, I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I don't think I have an answer because I want to say, like, I wish you could have Andre and Big Boy on here, you know, like.
That's
possible. It's feasible for sure.
But you said you wanted to introduce me to people. So.
Yeah. So who else? Well, if we want some good homegrown folks, there's lots of people, actually. The guys that do. Atlanta Influences Everything.
Oh, I've had him on.
Oh, I love all of them. There's three of them.
Yeah, but I've talked to... So, Bame was on the show, and then I saw him the other night at a Creatives Mornings thing.
Yes, Jay Carter is somebody else who should... He's also the co-founder of the One Music Fest, and he is amazing. Orenike. Do you have enough women on here?
I take anybody you think is interesting, B, good to talk to.
Okay. Oh,
because some people are interesting, but they're not good guests. So
Yeah, I think...
It doesn't have to be music. It can be anything. It can be anything.
Yeah, I figured, because I am not music.
Right.
you know who else? And I say this funny. My ex-husband, Kembo, actually, because he's had a lot to do with the culture of Atlanta as well. And he, from Yin Yang days back in the day. And although, you know, he's no longer my husband for a reason, I still think that he could, I know he would give you a good interview.
What's his last name?
Tom, Kembo Tom. So my married name was Renee Tom, right? But I'm no longer married. But my daughter's last name is Tom, so I keep it so I don't have 17 different names. But most of my family and friends know me as Renee Brown.
Okay.
But he's Kembo Tom. I mean, and I do not. He'll give you a good interview, and he'll have a lot to say for sure, I think.
Okay.
But that's just one. I'd like to give you others.
Okay.
I feel like I should know all of this. There's so many people I can think of on the spot. There's people in my world, Donald's. My gosh, why am I? We know him as Flacco the Greatest, actually. But I'm trying to think of just people that sort of my industry that have grown up in this business as well.
Well, listen, we can pause there.
Yeah.
You'll think of some.
I will.
I'll leave here. You'll go, got it. And then you'll text me and be like, Matt, this is who you should talk to.
That's usually what happens. Yeah, because on the spot, I can't think of.
Right.
And I know some good folks for show.
Well, listen, this has been fantastic.
Yes, it has.
I'm so glad we did this.
Me too. Thank you.
Because it's fun to interview new people. And it's also like we've never had most of these conversations.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and we know each other how many years now?
A long time. From the first time that Emma said to Shiloh, you're crazy just like me. I like it. And from that on, they have been best friends.
That's amazing. That's she said that to Emma?
Emma said that to Shiloh. She said, she's like, oh, you're crazy like me. I like it.
Perfect.
Yeah. And now they were 6, 7 maybe, and now they're, so it's been a long time.
Right.
It's a long time.
All right. Good talk.
Yes, very good. Thank you for having me.
There you have it. That was Renee Brown. Hope you enjoyed it. As I mentioned, we'd love to hear from you on the Instagram. You can also drop me a note, mattbdavis@icloud.com. Love to hear from you anytime. Thank you so much for listening. As I said, please tell a friend. That's how we grow this thing. And I can't wait to bring you more and more stuff. Love you. Miss you. Mean it. I have got to run.
Tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.